In Madison County, there's a place called Negro Mountain. It marks a remote area once inhabited by Ozarks African-American settlers and their 20th century descendants. All of them are gone now, except for one individual. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Frohla takes us to meet the last living African-American in Madison County.
It doesn't appear on the paper state highway maps, but if you MapQuest East Central Madison County, you'll see a tiny little triangle identified as Negro Mountain. Located on Horton Creek Township, it was home to a little-known Ozarks Black community. Some were descended from enslaved African Americans who were first brought to Madison County in the 1830s. Their population grew to 300 by 1860, but after emancipation, half of them left. Families who stayed built homesteads, with most concentrated along Pigman Creek. Over the decades, their numbers dwindled to 124 in 1880, 44 in 1900, 15 by 1940. Today, only one descendant remains. All these records and much more are stored in the Madison County Historical Society in downtown Huntsville. And this afternoon, a special reunion is taking place to honor Madison County's historic Black population. Some white residents, like Wanda Evans, born in 1933, lived apart from the Blacks.
Their families lived on down farther down the creek. I'm sure my dad knew a lot more about them, but I just never did know them. And I was kind of afraid of them, you know, because I'd never seen colored people before. But they're just people like the rest of us.
Compared to other places in the South, she said, Black folk were accepted by Madison County white folk.
Pretty tolerant. Of course, there's intolerant people wherever you live. I think someone said that most people treated them pretty good, except there's one family or two that wasn't very nice to them.
But 80-year-old Vermalee Johnson Inman, who still lives on Horton Creek, had African-American neighbors.
I'd see them go by. Sometimes they'd stop and get a drink at the spring. My folks had a good spring there. And they'd talk, you know, and they'd go on home.
When she was little, Vermalee befriended an older Black girl.
We'd make mud pies, and the peach trees had bloomed. And the petals, the pink petals from the trees had fallen on the ground. So Artie said, let's put some of these pink petals on the pine. I thought that was the neatest thing I'd ever seen. just made that mud pie look so good.
The little girl was Artie Beatrice Cook, one of five children born to Haywood William Cook and Netsy Craven Cook. Now in her 90s, she still remembers those delicious-looking mud pies.
And put that on, like a coconut on top of a cake. you should knew that was going to be a cool thing.
The girls grew up exploring the countryside and playing in the creek. Vermalee's remained in Madison County while Artie moved to Fayetteville and married John Funkhauser.
Artie Beatrice Cook Funkhauser.
Artie's retired now, having worked for many years at the University of Arkansas cooking in the fraternity houses, and she gets around just fine with help of family and a cane, which she occasionally taps to make a point. She's fit, sharp, and filled with stories, including one of the old homestead spring.
Everlasting water. It sure was.
And dry.
It's still, I was going to ask you, was it dry?
I'm not. You mean the spring?
Mm-hmm.
I never was up there this year, already.
It never did go dry.
Madison County's Black children attended their own schools in the 1920s, Shady Grove and New Home. The Historical Society collections even holds a few of the Black children's report cards. Among them is one of Artie's, who earned lots of A's and B's. To help pay for school clothes, Artie took a job with a local white family.
The thing about it, there was no work. When the factory shut down, there was no work. Okay. I hired out as a family. They wrote in the paper and they wanted some girl, you know, for school clothing, you know. And so the name was Dudgeons. And I wrote them the letter back and told them I would stay with them. You know, I would stay, you know, in with them. Okay, I would cook. And, you know, do things like that and clean the house and do the laundering. And I did that and get money for my school clothing thing, see.
Eventually, all the Black schoolhouses closed for lack of students. By the mid-1940s, only one Black child remained in all of Madison County. And according to local history records, residents allowed the girl to enroll in an all-white school despite federally mandated segregation. No one objected. Some say the local school board and administrators kept it a secret from the State Board of Education. Artie says growing up in Madison County was like that. Everyone got along.
When we grew up, we could go to this show over here, and we could sit in the balcony, or we could sit downstairs. And this is the truth. Okay? We could go into the stores over here in Huntsville, and we could try clothes on just like we're doing now. And I mean, I didn't know any difference, honestly. And when I left and went to where I am now, I went in one time to try a dress on a Montgomery board. She said, "Oh, whoa, whoa, you can't try that on." I said, "Well, why?" "Well, you have to know your size. We don't allow people to try them on."
Well,
now, that is the God's truth. And I don't have many witnesses left to tell the truth. It's true.
You grew up with a whole different experience.
I certainly did, but when I left, I said, "What is this?" Because I haven't been used to nothing like it.
Because where Artie was living then, in Fayetteville, like much of the South at the time, was strictly segregated. Mildred Stansel Jenkins, who is white, has deep roots in Madison County as far back as the early 19th century. And her family and the Cooks were close.
I knew the family, and her aunt, like I say, was always at my grandmother's house, because we called her Aunt Mex, but she didn't have any kids. My grandma had 7, and they lived just across the creek. And I don't think Aunt Mex had a sewing machine, as I remember. My grandma used to sew for her, and she'd wash, help her wash. I mean, they just helped each other all the time. And I just grew up with her.
Mildred, who's moved away, reconnected with Artie after doing some family genealogy, and she's given Artie good perspective.
And so, I mean, you know, I've had a good life. I really have. Now I'm kind of crippled, but it's still good, and that I'm living.
You could be worse, couldn't you,
Artie? Now you can say that again.
On this beautiful warm autumn afternoon, Artie's being honored at a ceremony at Horton Creek Cemetery. A monument's been erected last January to commemorate Madison County's black community. Joy Russell, president of the Madison County Historical Society, oversaw the project.
We took donations for several years here at Decoration, and then the Historical Society has money that we allot each year, and we paid the rest of it.
The large gray marble monument dwarfs Horton Creek Cemetery's gravestones. Among the estimated 20 or so African Americans buried here are Artie's 2 grandmothers, 2 brothers, her uncle, her aunt. Their names, along with the others, are inscribed on the monument.
I want to thank the people that got it together and really thought about doing something like it. And I appreciate it. I think it's very nice.
It's not real nice.
It really is. Yes.
See, your relatives are rejoicing.
Yeah.
And after a little while, Artie Beatrice Cook Funkhauser and her lifelong Madison County friends sing for each other, and all their loved ones laid to rest. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away.
How was that, Paul?
That's good.